Deutsche Welle Africa Link.
And welcome to Africa Link. I'm Isaac Mugabe in Bonn, Germany. Coming up on the program, Al-Shabaab in Somalia launches its 2014 terror campaign with twin blasts that leave 11 people dead.
There is nothing that is rushing Al-Shabaab. They are still a force to be reckoned with, both by the Somali government and by its regional neighbours.
South Africa opens a murder probe of former Rwandan spy chief and strong critic of President Kagame.
He was found dead on his bed, and preliminary investigation revealed that his neck was swollen, therefore leading the investigators to assume that he might have been strangled.
These stories and more to come on the program. Stay tuned.
Top story.
Somalia's Al-Qaeda-linked Al-Shabaab launched their New Year resolution of yet another year of terror by setting off two bomb blasts that left at least 11 people dead. The blasts took place within an hour of each other outside the Jazeera Hotel in Mogadishu. The hotel is one that is regularly frequented by foreigners and is situated near a United Nations compound and Mogadishu's international airport. Earlier, I spoke to Hannah Wadilove, a UK-based sub-Saharan Africa analyst, who told me about the timing of the attack.
I don't think this is necessarily anything new. Over the last 6 months, we have seen sporadic high-profile targets in Mogadishu. You remember the High Court, the UN mission compound. It is potentially a 2014 message of Al-Shabaab simply stating that they are still relevant to Somalia and that they still retain the capacity to launch these kind of high-profile asymmetrical attacks in the capital. This has obviously come very shortly after the new Somali Prime Minister has taken office at a time when there has been an enormous amount of praise for the way that the Somali government has handled this recent leaving of the former Prime Minister and the coming of the new. So I think it's just a signal for something that we already know, that Al-Shabaab is still a very potent force in Somalia and in Mogadishu.
What do these attacks tell us about the strength of the Al-Shabaab inside Somalia?
They have obviously lost key urban strongholds that they had in the past, Mogadishu being one of them, including Kismayo as well. The pressure on Al-Shabaab from AMISOM troops, from the Kenyans, from the Ethiopian troops will continue, but they still have the capacity to administer large swathes of Somalia, and that has not changed. We saw the relative strength of their ability to conduct attacks in the region, Kampala in 2010, Nairobi, of course, in September last year. They are able to play a kind of long-term waiting game, I suppose. There is nothing that is rushing Al-Shabaab. They are still a force to be reckoned with, both by the Somali government and by its regional neighbours.
Some progress has been made by the government in Somalia. Where does this attack leave the Somali government?
It is certainly true that there has been an enormous amount of progress security-wise in Mogadishu, despite the kind of pattern of high-profile attacks in the capital on AMISOM and other federal government targets. It leaves the Somali government in a similar situation to what it came into, which is security being its most fundamental priority, one that needs to be combated before anything else can really take shape, institutional development, delivery of services, etc., both within Mogadishu and beyond. Al-Shabaab's targets are, at least for now, a sort of short-term, and they're sort of achieving what they want to achieve, I think, which is causing a modicum degree of disruption to this new Somali government, for whom international goodwill is still fairly present, although is declining from its height when the new president took office. It leaves the government in, they're still very much reliant on external funding. The external funders, the donors, are also seeing security as their biggest priority.
I was speaking to Hannah Wadilove, a UK-based sub-Saharan Africa analyst. In a related development, at least 10 people were wounded on Thursday when attackers hurled a grenade into a restaurant in a popular coastal tourist resort town in Kenya. The attack, one of a series of bomb or grenade blasts in Kenya, is the latest to target areas popular with foreign visitors who contribute to the country's economy and tourism sector. The New Year holiday is one of the busiest times on Kenya's coastal town of Mombasa, a mainly Muslim region whose white beaches are popular with tourists, but which is also troubled by extremist groups and religious tensions. From Nairobi, James Shimanyula sent this report.
At a press conference at the scene of the attack, Ivan Sachoki, County Commissioner for Kenya's coastal county of Kwale, where Diani Resort Center is located, described what happened.
It was at around 3:30 morning that somebody threw a grenade on this club here. And we thank God that when this happened, it didn't land where there were very many people. Approximately, there were about 200 persons in this club. So when it happened, the grenade landed at the pool tables where there were very few people.
Achoki said the police had strong leads. They were following up.
These people are suspected to have escaped in a motorbike, and the police have the crucial leads, working on crucial leads, which could lead to the arrest of these persons who were suspected to have thrown this grenade.
The attack follows reports of disappearances of people and extrajudicial killings of Muslim clerics believed to sympathize with suspected Al-Shabaab terrorists. Recently, such killings sparked protests and riots in Mombasa. Speaking in Kiswahili at a separate press conference near the scene of the attack, Kwale County Commissioner Ivan Sachoki dismissed reports that there was a link between Thursday's attack and the alleged disappearance or killing of the clerics.
The attack has no connection with the deaths that have occurred. We have been hearing that there are threats here, but we have security officials on surveillance in the area.
The attack came shortly after President Kenyatta appealed to Kenyans to be alert all the time and report suspicious people to the authorities, bearing in mind that terrorists often shadow their targets before they attack. He added that
terrorism is the philosophy of cowards. The way we lead our lives in freedom, openness, unity, and consideration for each other represents our victory over those who wish us ill.
The people that Kenyatta is referring to are Al-Shabaab militants who claimed responsibility for the killing of more than 60 people when they attacked Westgate Mall west of Nairobi in September last year.
James Shimanyula reporting from Nairobi.
Africa Link, because Africa is more than just a headline.
Police in South Africa have begun investigations into the murder of Rwanda's former spy chief, found dead, possibly strangled, in a hotel in South Africa. The body of Colonel Patrick Karegeya, the former external intelligence chief, was found slumped on a hotel bed, his neck swollen, in the upmarket area of the city on New Year's Day. Rwanda's opposition groups living in exile have accused the Rwandan regime of being behind the murder. From Johannesburg, Tuzo Kumalo sent this report.
The South African police said they decided to open up a murder investigation after examining the body and discovering a number of suspicious items. Kahleko Mohale is the Gauteng police spokesperson.
It is alleged that Mr. Karegeya booked himself on the 29th. And he was found late afternoon on New Year's Day. He was found dead on his bed, and preliminary investigation revealed that his neck was swollen, therefore leading the investigators to assume that he might have been strangled. A towel and a rope were also found in the hotel. And at this stage, a case of murder has been opened with the Sandton Police and will be handed over to the Directorate for Priority Crimes.
In a statement released on Wednesday, the opposition Rwanda National Congress, a dissident coalition, accused Rwandan President Paul Kagame's government of being behind Karegeya's death. However, the Rwandan High Commissioner in South Africa, Vincent Karea, says they will await the result of police investigations before reaching a conclusion on Karegeya's death.
South Africa is an organized country. There is police. A hotel is in a posh area with all the security features. So I think the wise way is definitely to wait for the police to establish. Otherwise, Karegeya has been here for more than 5 years now. Why just now and why in a hotel? Because he lived freely in South Africa and he has got a home.
Karegeya, a strong critic of Rwandan President Paul Kagame, fled to South Africa after being stripped of his rank in 2006. He had been jailed once for insubordination before he sought asylum in South Africa. In 2010, he told Uganda's Daily, The Observer, that Kagame was a dictator and accused him of ordering political killings.
Tuzo Kumalo reporting from Johannesburg. A French Catholic priest abducted in Cameroon by Islamic militants arrived home mid this week after a 7-week ordeal he described as a time of terrible boredom, sadness and anger. On arrival in Paris, French President François Hollande was at the tarmac to welcome him. Following his release, the French government advised its citizens living in Cameroon's border with Nigeria to leave. Prior to his return back home, our correspondent in Yaoundé, Moki Kinzeka, caught up with a freed priest and filed this report.
My dear compatriots, I am pleased to announce the release of Father Georges van den Berch. This priest, so devoted to his mission, has been freed.
That's Cameroon's President Paul Biya announcing the release of the French priest, Reverend Georges van den Berch, who was kidnapped in northern Cameroon by members of the Nigerian Islamist sect Boko Haram. President Biya vehemently condemned the abductions of French citizens in his country. He said that with French troops operating to restore order in the troubled neighboring Central African Republic, both French citizens and Cameroonians were no longer victims of menace only from Nigeria, but also from CAR. Before returning to France, Reverend van den Berch told me how he felt now that he was free.
I must tell you that I cannot measure the luck that I had. Other hostages have been there for a terribly long time. I was there for 7 long weeks.
He said one of the worst things about his captivity was the boredom.
D'abord, terriblement ennuyeux.
It was terrible. 7 weeks on the same spot, sitting under a tree. No book to read, nobody to talk to, and no radio. It was terrible.
La tristesse et de la colère.
Christians and Muslims in Cameroon organized ecumenical services to thank God for releasing the priest. The Bishop of Marua, His Lordship Philip Stephens, says he was happy that both Muslims and Christians passed a message of interreligious tolerance to the world.
It is a good news for us, a joy for us and for all our diocese. We have prayed for him together, Muslims and Christians.
Muslim religious leader Sheikh Ibrahim told me that the Holy Quran, just like the Bible, allows for the peaceful cohabitation of people of different faiths.
We have talked about interreligious dialogue. We are joining with Christians, educating our children in churches, in mosques, to live in peace.
However, French Foreign Minister Laurent Fabius told me that they do not want their people to risk their lives.
It is wise for us to examine the critical situation in Nigeria and Central Africa that share boundaries with Cameroon. It's also wise to take serious precautions in the northern part of Cameroon. We are ready to help the populations, but we do not want our people to expose themselves any longer.
That report was compiled by Moki Kinzeka in Yaoundé.
Deutsche Welle, learning by ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Hello and welcome to Learning by Ear's Crossroads Generation, a radio drama about the everyday challenges facing African teenagers.
We're standing at the crossroads. We're looking for a way. Crossroads Generation.
Let's recap on what's happened recently before we dive into the 15th episode called What Shall I Do? Some days ago, Mercy confessed to Dan that she had feelings for him. But for Dan, that wasn't enough.
Prove it to me.
How am I supposed to prove it to you, Dan?
This weekend, I'll invite you over to my room. Make sure you come alone.
Mercy hasn't yet decided what to do, but Dan has already found an accomplice in his friend Biko. And he's already making arrangements.
I'll give you some cash and some cigarettes.
But you know I don't smoke, right?
But they are not for you. You'll give them to the watchman, the one at the gate. Tell him you're expecting a guest on Saturday and that he should let her in.
That's all?
That's all.
So the strings are being pulled. But wait a minute. Has Dan been hiding something? Let's make a quick detour to Laboria, the neighboring country where Dan is from, and drop in on his father, Kanyama. He's got a visitor. It's Anita, Dan's girlfriend back home.
Where's the maid? Hello? Take these cups away. So, Anita, my daughter, is there anything else you need? I hope you know that you're always welcome here. Your father and I go back a very long way, so you're more to me than just my future daughter-in-law.
Thank you, Mr. Kanyama, but I'm fine.
So tell me, how are you and Dan doing? Is everything all right?
Well, I hope so.
You hope so? What do you mean by that? Are you two having problems?
Well, actually, I was hoping you could tell me. I haven't heard from Dan in almost 3 weeks. And the last time we talked, he sounded, well, kind of distant.
Really? What makes you say that? Is that what he said?
No. I mean, I'm sorry, Mr. Kanyama. I don't think it was a very good idea for me to talk to you about this.
Anita, I want to help you if I can. But if you don't tell me, who else are you going to tell? His mother?
Maybe. Perhaps it would be better to talk to her.
You know my wife. She'll just tell you to pray about it. That's all. But listen, if there's anything I can
You've already done enough, Mr. Kanyama. This should really be between Dan and me. Thank you for the tea. I'll be on my way now.
Okay. Please say hello to your parents from me. Tell your father I'll be waiting for him this evening at the golf club.
I will. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Goodbye, my child. Hello?
Hello, darling.
Lena, would you stop calling me that? I've told you, I don't want anybody to find out about us. Especially not my wife.
And I've told you not to worry. I can keep a secret. Listen, I still haven't found my two nephews. Do you think that maybe they have talked to some other boys at the mine?
Lena, of course I have asked all of them. I've even offered them some money. Nothing. No trace of these rascals.
I see. It was just a thought that crossed my mind. Kanyama?
What else?
Can I see you tonight?
I'm meeting a friend at the golf club tonight. And before you ask, it's a business meeting.
Can I come along?
Don't push it, Lena. I'm a businessman first and foremost.
Hello, security guard.
What is it? I'm on Blake.
I see.
What do you want? You are wasting my time.
Hey, man. My name is Biko Chamba. I'm in Dome 5, up on the corner. How are you feeling today?
Young man, don't come talk in that stupid way. What do you want?
Okay. I don't mean to disrespect you or anything. You've been guarding our school compound so well. And I thought, why not come and have a chat with you?
Boy, is your end lost? Do you have blains or pollen in their small end? And don't come here to chat. This is my office. Stupid.
Sure. Then I'll get right to the point.
Yes, do that and be quick about it.
This is not going to be easy. I have a little present for you. Maybe when you take your break, you can enjoy this as well.
How do you know I smoke cigarettes?
Don't worry. Only my friend and I know about it. And we won't tell the principal. I have got another little something for you.
Well, thank you. But why are you giving me gifts?
It's not a big deal. It's just that I'm expecting a visitor this afternoon. Her name is Mercy. Could I please ask you to accompany her and bring her to my room? Number 5. Discreetly. If you help me with this, you may get a little more.
Okay, thank you. Mister, I'll do that. I'll do my best.
Ah, great. Then that will be all. I guess we are friends now, right?
Of course, Mister. Mister. Yeah.
Mercy, I feel so sorry for you. It must be really hard for you that your mother just left like that. Are you okay? Not so loud, Trudy. We're in the library. But yes, it is hard. I hope she comes back soon. I can't cope with my father on my own. He's, complicated.
I know what you mean.
Girls, silence, please. This is a library, not a marketplace.
I have another problem, Trudy. A bigger problem.
Oh, poor Mercy. What is it this time?
It's, Dan. He's asked me to come to his room this afternoon. In fact, I think he's already waiting.
Whoa! Oh la la! Mamma mia!
Stop making fun, Trudy. I'm serious. I'm scared. I don't want to disappoint him, but I don't think it's right either. What should I do?
Hey, Mercy, if I were you, I wouldn't be sitting here in the library right now reading books and doing my head in.
The exams are coming closer.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway, I'd be getting myself ready for this encounter.
Huh? How? What exactly do you mean, encounter?
Oh, jeez. You are so naive. Sometimes I wonder how you ended up being my friend. I mean, this will be the first time you and him will be alone. Talking of being alone, how are you going to get to his room?
I don't know. He told me he'd take care of it. But Trudy, what if someone sees me? I might get kicked out of school. I don't want that to happen.
I'm curious to find out how he's going to sneak you in. Maybe I can learn a few tricks from him.
Okay, let's go. Trudy, would you go with me to Dan's room?
Don't be silly, Mercy. It's your date. I'm not invited. Have fun. I'll see you soon, and you can tell me all about it. Uh-oh, Mercy, I think we're in trouble.
That's it. Either you keep quiet or you go out right now.
Sorry.
Go, Mercy. I can't wait to hear what happens.
Okay, see you. It seems the coast is clear. I need to hurry before somebody sees me.
Who is this?
Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't see you.
Ah, you must be the girl.
The girl? What girl? I just wanted to ask you.
Don't ask. I don't know any answers. Quickly, follow me. I will take you to Dom 5.
Is that where Dan lives? Dom 5?
I tell you, don't ask no question. Come. Girl, you must hurry. I don't want anyone to see you going inside here. Okay, go in. Dom 5 is the one in the corner.
But, hey, wait, please. How am I going to get out?
That is for you to work out. I have to go back to my office.
And so we come to the end of our 15th episode. What's going to happen now that Mercy has been snaked into the boys' dormitory? Find out in the next episode of our radio drama, Crossroads Generation. And remember, you can always listen to this episode or the others in the series simply by visiting our webpage at dw.de/LBE. You can also follow us on Facebook. Bye-bye for now.
And before we leave you, here's a reminder of the stories that we've covered on the program. Police in South Africa have begun investigations into the murder of Rwanda's former spy chief, Colonel Patrick Karegeya, after his body was found in a hotel. Somalia's Al-Qaeda-linked Al-Shabaab has claimed responsibility for two bomb blasts that left at least 11 people dead outside a hotel in Mogadishu. A French Catholic priest abducted in Cameroon by Islamic militants arrived home mid this week after a 7-week ordeal. And with that, we come to the end of this edition of Africa Link. For comments and suggestions, send an email to feedback.africa@dw.de, a letter to Africa Link, DW 53110 Bonn, Germany, or an SMS to +41 160 957 59510. Africa Link returns tomorrow at the same time. I'm Isaac Mugabe in Bonn. Take care.